Little Ranch House Recording Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. It's the Blind Handyman Show, all designed with the blind in mind. Show
202.
Absolutely amazing. We're still short to one guy, and that would be your friend and mine, Tom Houston, is not here. But hopefully next week he'll be back. Why don't we say hi to Don Pat? How are you, sir?
I'm just fine.
Brand new big mic?
Brand new. Well, new as of last week.
Big Mike.
I hope the listeners can notice the difference.
Didn't Kanye have something called Big Mike once? This is Big Mike reporting from...
Probably. I mean, this is totally like a professional-looking thing. Only thing it needs is a little plaque on it that says NBC or CBS, and I'd think I was like at the big studio.
Well, if I bought the mic, looks like the least you could do is furnish the plaque.
Well, if I could find one. Back in the old days on old TV clips, you'd see a newsman, and he'd stick a mic in front of somebody, and it would say NBC on it.
CBS.
But those days are long gone.
Long gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What would this one say? It would say ACB? Maybe not.
KMA.
KMA. It could say KMA, couldn't it? Well, we said 102 and
202.
I'll keep going. The date is the 7th.
7th, yes.
7th of August of 2007.
Yeah.
Tom is so much better at that.
The statistician.
Yeah, my dear sweet sister turned 66 2 days ago, so if she's listening, well.
All right. What a deal. Yeah. Make that phone call there.
Wonder if anyone can.
It's kind of like dialing for dollars.
Can someone guess his number by the beeps there?
Nah, not these days.
You think not?
Not these days.
We're waiting. It's ring three. In our exciting.
There's
no one at home.
Good.
It's amazing. Where would they be? Tom's out in the yard, I guarantee you. Unless something's happened, they don't have an answering machine.
You've reached Don and Emily.
Oh, I dialed the wrong number.
What a deal.
I dialed the wrong number, didn't I?
You got the wrong number here.
It's still not show 102.
I'll do it right this time.
The old boy's going round the bend.
I may be. I got it that time. I guarantee you.
Yeah, when the answer machine entered.
This is not you reached on, Emily. It's amazing. Well, you should have heard it was down 875. I should know. You never told.
Hello.
Cleta May.
Yes, sir.
We're doing the air. Can we talk to Houston?
No, you can't.
Why not?
He's gone right now.
Where is it? He actually left the house?
Yeah, he was able to get in my car. He took... Eugene to go get his truck. Eugene's truck was broke down.
Well, say hi to everybody. We're on the air.
Well, hello there.
This is Tom's wife, Cleta. Well, I'm glad he got out of the house. That's good for the boy.
Yes, it is.
You tell him we called, and if he'd like to call us, we'll be here for another hour or so.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I should have tipped him, I guess. If he's out of the house, then he's better, right?
Yeah, that's a good sign, isn't it?
Wouldn't we think that?
I would say out of the house, he's absent without leave.
Yeah. I didn't know they let him leave.
With Clyde.
Yeah, that's what I say. But if he's out of the house, things are looking up, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say that's a good sign.
That's a great sign.
And maybe next week when you're gone, he can come and be with us.
And this was the first while that we haven't had any rain on
That's right.
On our
on
day.
Tuesday. So. And so. All right, well, let's get into email. Donald Pat has brought some stuff for us to look at. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, the sack runneth over.
All right.
Email and tips and tricks and all that.
We're ready.
All right, this one came off the list. I guess it's not email, it's list mail.
It is.
All right, and it says, hi, all. I had a fantastic magnetic recovery tool.
Yeah.
This tool had a long, thin magnet on the end of it and fairly long spring. At the other end... Oh, the lighting's just not what it used to be. At the other end of the spring, there was a hollow threaded fitting. There is an extension rod that slipped inside of the spring and was screwed on the end of the spring for storage.
All right.
And it says, when storage when or when needed, it was taken out and screwed onto the end, making a long handle. Goodness. Anyway, it says this
evening.
Well, no, this evening I needed it to recover a drop screw. Right, yeah, I'm going to not read and just tell what I know. Okay, and he goes on to it, says, but the bottom line, and this was from Lenny, says that he had loaned it to a friend, and the friend can't find it, and so now he's out of a tool, and he wants to know what to do with it. Well, kind of, yeah. That does. And so he wanted to know, you know, how could he get another one if this was gone?
They're pretty common.
Actually, you're talking to two people that have one each.
Well, I have two different sizes.
All right. And
I have a little short one that extends out to about 3 feet. And then I have the big one.
Right.
It's just telescopes. It's telescoping like a radio antenna.
On a collar.
Except on the end it has a big, fat magnet.
Right.
And you can move it around and look for, you know, standing up, look for anything you want to. I mean, it's long enough that you can reach down. It probably does 5 feet.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, and they actually, they work. We've got ours, the two small ones. I think mine is a small one. Got it at Abney's for $6.
Yeah.
That's our local little hardware store. And I had a uses for it. I had a trash pile that I had burned wood with nails and nails over the 3.5 years of my construction. And I got out there with mine, and you won't believe, I mean, tons of nails I collected.
Oh, I bet.
And so, and it's very efficient. And anyway, somebody did have a reply to his deal, which I thought was kind of cute, because it says, my dear old dad always told me, lending your tools is a lot like lending your wife. They never come back quite like they left. And so I thought that was kind of clever. Actually, he talks about constructing one. He says, well, you could take a magnet and put it on a flex hose, and that's all on the list if anybody wanted to read it.
Or but a string.
Actually, you can buy this product at Sears. This guy, the Lenny that sent the message, I guess was kind of concerned about what you call them, but a lot of Sears calls theirs a pointing tool, and a lot of them call them a recovery tool. And so I typed in, just on Google, go to Google and type in telescoping magnet, and you'll get all kinds of deals. I saw them priced from $4.95 to $10. Sears has two different types.
Seemed like mine, we were walking through somewhere like maybe Walmart, and she said, oh, look at this. You'll have to have this. And showed it to me, the big long one, and I bought it. But Abney's has them. Any hardware store or Lowe's or Home Depot or any of those places will have what you want.
But on another side, not to prolong this, but if for a blind guy or partially sighted like myself, and if you were doing a lot of work and had a shop, and dropping a screw is the worst thing, and it's usually the first things that happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a company that makes little magnet sweepers, and it's kind of like a little roll thing, say a 20-inch spread, has two little rubber wheels on each end, and you push it on your floor, and it'll pick up everything, and then it has some way to unload it. You could put it in a bin, say, and just punch the unload button. I don't know how that works. And I don't know what the price was. They did not.
This would probably be an electromagnet, maybe run by a battery or something.
I have no idea. But they make industrial types. But then this one was their economy brand. And it looked like just a little roller gizmo. You kind of roll it like you're... Have you seen these kind of sweeper things?
Yeah.
And that's about what it looked like.
But for a blind person, this tool is almost indispensable because you can't find the screw in the sawdust.
I guarantee you, it will find them.
It will. And you'll hear... It'll click right up to the you know, $6 at the hardware store. Go buy yourself one.
Right.
All right. Good post and good idea.
Okay. And I fumbled through that one anyway. And this one I didn't even write down, but I saw it on the list, and we're going to talk about it. It's the fellow that had the thermostat problem. He said, and the gist of his query was that he didn't understand why thermostats always had to be about shoulder high, because this one got knocked off, he says, probably for the last time because the case is all bent.
Yeah.
And he's still got air, but he's not sure about his temperature settings. And the bottom line is he wants to replace this with one of the talking thermometers that us blind and senior citizen folks use.
Yeah.
And he's wondering about the wiring. So, Philip?
Well, I cheated. I got Fuss to wire mine up. He was here when it came, and so I got him to wire. But we've talked to the guy on the show that hang on. That was a throat clearing thing there. We had the guy on that sells him that has talkingthermostats.com.
This person was more interested in how you wired it. And the thing of it is, it's the one thing. Some of the older types that weren't so complicated had like two wires, or either you wired the two wires in and they were pre-wired inside the case. The main thing is on this is it shouldn't be any guesswork, but you must stick to the color code. If you've got more than two wires to deal with, whatever red goes to red and yellow is yellow, because...
Yeah, but I don't think you heard anything if you wired it up wrong.
No, but if you tried to guess, the problem is after you get about four or five wires, they go up exponentially as far as combinations. You know, it's kind of like my three-way switch. I was off one wire.
I think it's three wires nowadays, isn't it?
I think that the newer ones have several, do they not, Don? Yellow and white. And
didn't you wire yours?
Last time we changed, we had four.
You had four wires.
We had four.
Both all color conscious, right?
They were all different colors.
So that's not a big deal. You just have somebody with some vision.
You'd have to, first of all, look at it. It comes apart real easy, and the instruction thing is pretty explanatory. I've lost it, but when I had it, it was pretty. It comes on a CD, and you can read it, and it's the back. Batteries are easy to change. It's easy to get apart. And I had Fuss too much. You there are just some things.
Yeah, there's just some things you're better off to get.
That you're better off to get some sighted person.
This subject comes up a lot, on the list from time to time. We need to talk to that guy again from the Talking Thermostats place.
Yeah.
And get in and talk.
But
to us again
it
about
is
that.
Interesting that this person is exactly right. When I read about the shoulder height, I went and stood under mine, and it touches me right on the collarbone. It would hurt like hell if you hit it, and I'm sure take it off the wall. And actually, for a visually impaired person trying to see it, it could stand to be another 9 inches so taller, and then you wouldn't. Of course, then you might hit it with your head. So.
Yeah, I've ran one for shoulder, and it just the right height, but they're all about that.
And then
height.
It kind of makes you wonder why they don't recess them. Have just a little box there.
You could do that. You could recess
it
yourself.
Then if you ever changed it, the one you bought may not be the same shape.
It could be a problem.
The only thing I don't like about this thermostat that I have, and I guess they only make, do they make more than one kind of talking one?
Oh, maybe? Yeah. Yeah, there's a Calvin talking thermostat, and then the one you have is, there's two or three.
I don't know. Anyway, the one I have, at some point in time, it says, operating hours indicate you need to change, you need to call for service. Yeah, that's what it said. Operating hours indicate you need to call for service. Well, bull, I don't need to call.
Yeah, that's strange.
And it says that, and finally, I changed the batteries, and it doesn't say it anymore. I guess the batteries get to a certain point, and it thinks it's operating, and it tries to tell you when to change a filter, which is not a bad idea, I guess. But
not a bad idea for a reminder.
All in all, the other thing I don't like about it is it moves in degrees. I wish it moved in half degrees. Like if you have the thermostat set at 74, then it won't kick on until the house gets 75.
Yeah, it would be nice if it would do half.
It would be nice if it would do half degrees. That's the one. But other than that, I mean, it's really neat to know the within the ballpark temperature of your. Of course, the temperature at the thermostat's not going to be the temperature in your bedroom.
That's
so,
true.
Anyway,
it's like we've talked about before, the actual temperature though is when it feels comfortable. Whatever the temperature reads. Not being, that's what you need it to be at anyway. So
get a sighted person to help you wire this thermostat, and we'll all be happy. Okay. Quote, Mr. Pat.
All right. The next one is kind of a tips, one of our tips and tricks, and somebody wrote in about how do you clean an air conditioner. And we've kind of discussed this before, and of course your service people can do that, and they'll charge you a hefty fee, probably $65 or $75.
Yeah.
But this was particularly directed at cleaning window units. And I'm sure some of our people have them. And it just goes, it says, we bought a new window unit, air conditioning unit several years ago. Well, then I don't know why he started out like that, that it's new.
Yeah.
But it said, aside from the installation and removing it, every year we haven't touched it. What should we be doing to keep it running efficiently and extend its life?
Well,
The main thing is, says, the answer that was given for this was this: when you remove the unit this fall, because like everybody does, I'm sure, I never removed
it. Up north, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, because it probably gets cold as...
Well, yeah, because you get a lot of bad air through there, and then you want to seal that, put the storm window on there, and you know, all that.
Right. So this says it, when you remove it this fall, it takes a half an hour or so to clean the filter, wipe out the unit, and flush dirt from the condenser coil. If you keep the coils clean, that's 90% of keeping the air conditioner in proper working order. It says, in fact, if you have an air conditioner that just won't blow cold air, the coils are probably the problem. Dirty coils could be some of the problem.
Oh, yeah.
And then it says, if you then after you do that, you do the filter with soap and water, and you clean it all with a rag and all that, you go outside the unit. And the first thing, of course, two things, unplug it first. But then the second thing after you're outside is cover the motor with plastic or something.
Or don't.
And you get you a water hose with a nozzle on it, not under the highest pressure, but you wash out that little radiator-looking thing. Is that the condenser?
It's on the back. That's just a heat dissipation. Heat dissipation coil. I can remember when we had window units, taking them out, setting them on this little table, and putting a block under the front so the water would run
right
out, and taking a very low-pressure water hose.
Right.
Now, they make a compound for cleaning air conditioner coils.
They do?
Yeah, they do.
I mean, yes, they do.
They do, and it's expensive. And,
right.
But you can't buy it in less than a gallon jug. So just use, you know, a mild solution of
soap and water.
And run it, you know, spray it through the coil. Be nice if you had a little pump sprayer so you could spray the soap and water in the coil and then rinse them real good and let it dry up. But you don't have to cover the motor. It's a sealed motor, and you're not going to run it till next spring anyway. It will have dried out by then. And just put a block in front of it so the water will definitely run out and clean it yourself.
Well, and it also says if you have an air compressor, that you can use it to dust out some of this stuff and
but you're liable to get in trouble with the pressure of an air compressor. I wouldn't use it. I don't know if I'd use that, 'cause air compressor.
Yeah, bend those fins.
Oh,
you
don't want to do that.
Right.
This air compressor has got a lot of. Now, I remember about 2 years ago, I had him take my coil out and clean it.
At your house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took the whole coil out.
I had both of my units cleaned this spring. The guy was there doing the ductwork anyway, so he kind of cut me a deal. And so he did both, they take the covers off the outside units and clean them and all that. With that, they had that solution there.
That stuff that you're supposed to use, yeah.
I have heard, believe this or not, but I've heard even in our area, in Texas and all this area where it gets really hot, I've heard with the high cost of energy now that window units are starting to come back in style again, that some people are starting to buy them and use them again.
On a future show, and I'll research it, yeah, they have ductless air conditioning that's kind of like an outside unit, but you don't need to go in and do a lot of duct work. The biggest, you cut a 3-inch diameter hole through your wall, and the inside and outside unit work together. And it's almost like they hang on the wall.
Oh,
and
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking into that in my prospective music room, that if I decide to relocate and...
I thought you'd given up on that.
No, I haven't yet. And ductless air conditioning seems to be the way to go, and it's not price prohibitive, doesn't seem like. So are we out of time?
Pretty much. It's about 18 after. What do you think, Shawboy?
Yeah, it's time to roll.
That's about it. You still have more?
I have more, but I can save them.
Well, why don't you save them?
By golly.
There will be a next week.
Right. Back in the bag they go, but the bag runneth over.
Hopefully, Tommy Houston will be back next week. But anyway, some good thoughts about air conditioning. They're here in the summer. And what is the rule? They say if your filter's dirty and you haven't changed it, you've already cost...
It's already cost you money.
It's already cost you money.
Well, I was wondering, you were talking about your little unit telling you when to change the filter. I was wondering if it was the warden's voice, because she reminds me, we need to change that. Well, when she says we...
You mean you. She means you, right?
Absolutely.
I changed mine about 2 weeks ago, and I'm probably going to change them this weekend again. So the summertime, buddy, you better change them every couple, 3 weeks.
I've been changing mine. Every time I pay the bill online, I change the filter.
So. Well, let's see. I'm out of those big 24 by 24, so I got to get her to go by and buy some of those, and they're hard to find. It's 24. My big return air in the house is 24 by 24.
Yeah, see, that's small. Ours is 25 by 25, I think. Is it not?
We have 16 by 25. So.
Yeah.
Mine is a big square. I think 25 by 25, I think.
Is it?
I think.
Just as long as it's bigger than mine, right?
But actually, that's this time, I think it is.
of course it's not. You go and measure it. Certainly not. All right, let's get the guest on. Cy Selfridge, the Ancient Okie. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. He's coming up. Going to talk with us today.
Pull him up in just a minute and we'll be right back on The Blind Handyman with Don Pat, Don Shaw, and Phil Parr. Hang on. The makers of Little Crackers with some gunky white stuff in the middle. Anyway, it's...
Garrison Keillor.
Isn't that weird? It's weird. Bumper music.
It is. It really
I don't know
is.
Where that came from. That's off the satellite.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cy Selfridge with us. How are you, sir?
I am just fine, sir. And you?
Well, I'm just fine, sir. You certainly have a nice voice. I think we asked you this before. Did you do radio at one time? Did you?
Back right about the time they were still powering the station with dinosaur power. Yes, I did a little.
Dinosaur. Dinosaur power. That's what we need, more of that.
Yeah. We hooked them up to a turnbuckle, okay?
Is that? And you call yourself the Ancient Okie?
Yes, I do.
How old is ancient?
Only 65.
65. Well, I got you by a year. I'll be 67 in October.
Well, very good.
Very good. So we're all stumbling along about the same age. Got the same aches and pains and
pretty much
digestive problems like old folks do. And you're in whereabouts in Oklahoma, you said?
I am in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's in the northeastern quadrant of the state.
How far is that from Oklahoma City?
Probably about 100 miles.
Oh, is it that far?
Yeah, Oklahoma City is dead center in the middle of Oklahoma.
Yeah. And so you're in Tulsa, former home of KVOO, which they've changed the call letters on, which just infuriated me.
Yes, I have to agree.
I just couldn't. It's supposed to be KVOO 1170, you know?
Yes, but, that's progress, okay?
I guess it is. But we were thinking about driving up to Oklahoma City. The Willie Nelson, Ray Price, Merle Haggard tour is going to be in Oklahoma City.
Oh, really?
And that's the closest thing to us. We're in Lufkin, which is 100 miles north of Houston. That's the closest they're coming to us. So we were thinking about just road tripping up there, leaving on Friday and seeing the show on Saturday night and coming home on Sunday. But I don't know where I can talk to anybody yet. Somebody's going to have to drive me if we go. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I relate to that problem.
I just checked that because there was a polka festival in Yukon, Oklahoma, which is a suburb of Oklahoma City, and I think it's 400, maybe slightly more, miles from us.
Yeah. So. Well, that's a good ways up there. So what did you work at when you worked, Si?
Well, I've had an interesting life. Okay.
Yeah.
I started out most of my career in the restaurant business, and I owned and operated restaurants in the early mid-60s till common sense overcame me.
Uh-huh.
And I then got into mainframe computers. I was in the first class in Oklahoma that they held for visually impaired people to be trained as computer programmers.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent the next 25, 30 years as a computer programmer and systems analyst and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, so you were able to actually find a job in the field they trained you.
Not in Oklahoma, but in Colorado, yeah.
Colorado. Are you an Oklahoma guy to begin with?
I am an Oklahoma guy, and I spent the next nearly 30 years in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, sounds like you have. I think I mentioned this before. I wanted to talk to you about maybe doing, you haven't done Blind Like Me, have you?
No, I haven't.
You haven't. You know, I've done so many now, I've got to ask guys. Got to say, if I interviewed you or not. What is that talking, your jaws?
Is my stupid jaws.
Your silly jaws. But you are still, at 65, quite active and do, because I see you on the list all the time with posts of different things that you're working on. So tell us about your life as a handyman.
Well, I'm not. She's kind of handy. You need to keep an eye on her, but she's kind of handy. Now, she can certainly motivate me, because if I don't get it done, she'll be at a large screwdriver and a large hammer, and I'm going to go fix it myself, and man, that's dangerous.
You are talking about your better half, your wife, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And she's not here to hear it, so I can say that.
You can say anything you want to.
Except this is going to be replayed later, right?
It is. Maybe you can talk her out of hearing it.
Maybe I need to keep her awake.
Yeah, maybe you do. So your wife motivates you, but you do quite a few things, because like I said, I see you.
Yes, I do.
On the list. What are some recent projects you've tackled as a blind fella?
Well, as a blind person, I'm still working on my deck like other people are working on theirs.
Yeah.
I hired some guy to do the deck for me last summer because we, first of all, didn't have any way to carry any lumber. Our old van went down the tubes. So, and golly, I'll tell you what, that was money well wasted.
It was it now? The guy didn't...
Well, you know, his idea of building a substructure and mine are completely different.
Uh-huh.
And just the way he constructed it, the way he anchored the poles just kind of into the ground, et cetera. There is no way in the world that that deck would ever safely support a roof in a wind.
Uh-huh.
Or with a snow load, you know, anything. It just wouldn't do it. So he and I came to the parting of the ways, and I now have a new-to-me van, so I need to go down and get some 2x4s and some whatevers and some lattice work and put a railing around that thing so I don't stumble off of it.
But it is built now.
Yes, it's floored.
What was his idea? He was just going to set the pole on the ground.
Well, he set the pole in the ground, but he didn't set it in far enough.
Yeah.
I think it's only in there, 8 inches, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you want to just kind of keep the floor up, and that's, you know, it'll do that.
Yeah.
But if you expect that thing to put up with the pressure that wind will put on it and such, there is no way in the world that thing would be safe.
And you get a lot of wind where you are.
Yeah, we really do. I'm fortunate. I live in a mobile home.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I'm sorry. The new word is manufactured housing.
Manufactured.
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
a mobile home to me. It's a trailer to me.
Everybody else is a trailer park, okay?
Yeah. I agree with you.
But the backside of my trailer, not the end, but the backside, is south. So we get a nice south wind out on the deck.
Uh-huh.
We have a hot tub sitting out there, and it's rather pleasant.
Well, did you make him redo this, or did you redo it, or what did you end up, what was your...
Right now, I just finished decking it and said, yeah, hey, you know, I will figure out what I need to do to put a roof on this thing someday.
Uh-huh.
Because it's going to be a major project, I think.
Well, one of the things you could do is, did he put these in some concrete, sacrete around these?
Yeah.
He did do that?
Yes, he did do that.
Well, I don't know, 8 inches. You say 6 to 8 inches, you think?
In the ground, yeah.
How far would you have put them in the ground?
I'd put them a good foot and a half. Probably two.
I'd say your mobile home may blow away, but my God, the deck will be there.
Yeah, it's going to be there forever.
The deck's going
to
be there.
When I put it up, I don't want it to come down, okay?
Well, yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah. But, you know, Si, you're talking with that hot tub up there. Now, that buddy
That's
full of water
weight.
Is a lot of weight.
A lot of weight.
So something, like you said, I mean, just going weight straight down might be okay. I don't know how the wind would
well, now
get
my
into
hot
this.
Tub is on the platform that I constructed.
Aha! Uh-huh. Oh.
And I set the hot tub, leveled the ground up, and then set the hot tub on cement blocks. That's uh-huh. what the base is set on.
That's what they want you to do. Yeah.
And I filled those cement blocks with cement.
With
so
what?
They're not hollow.
Filled them with what now?
Cement.
Oh, cement. Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right.
And they're probably on foot and a half centers
uh-huh.
right underneath the hot tub. Hot tub 6x6.
And it had a frame under it that you constructed this frame, and then you set the hot tub up on?
Yeah, I constructed a frame that sits on top of these cement blocks, and on top of that, I decked it.
And then set the hot tub up there.
Then I set the hot tub on there. Which I don't know, whatever, 400 times whatever water weighs, 8 pounds per gallon or something like that.
Well,
you're right; it's substantial.
Oh, it's going to be mighty heavy.
It's not going to blow away.
No question about that. It's going to be mighty heavy. Now, did you skirt around the frame underneath there or not?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, because if you don't, you're going to have vermin. Nesting. Probably have them anyway.
Yeah, no, we do. Anyway, yeah.
They love under my deck. They
that's the nature of a mobile home. You know, you may have it skirted, but it's not vermin proof.
No, you're going to have rats under there, whether you like it or not. And
don't y'all too have a few tornadoes in that part of the world to look out for?
That's really bizarre. I live in the north part of Tulsa.
Okay.
About 6600 North 66th Street.
Mm-hmm.
The tornadoes that come through Tulsa, and most of the bad weather comes through the south part of Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
About 21st to 81st Street South. That's where the I-44 goes through Tulsa. And I guess the tornadoes like the highway and the bad weather because that's where they usually go.
Man, that's...
We just don't get that kind of crap up here for whatever reason.
Wow.
It doesn't happen in North Tulsa.
Not very much. We don't get nearly the hail, the awful winds, or the horrible rain that they get, believe it or not, down in South Tulsa.
That's
where
amazing.
Are you, Si, in relation to Norman, Oklahoma, where the university is?
We are... Norman is south of Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Okay.
Probably 20 miles.
Yeah.
Good ways from you.
And we are about 100 miles... northeast of Oklahoma.
So 120 miles. I was just curious, you know, I mean, because of all places, the University of Oklahoma has the best tornado tracking.
They sure
do. For their meteorologists.
That's
students.
Right. Norman, Oklahoma.
Yep, they do. They're excellent.
So Tulsa sounds like a neat city to get around. It sounds like it's got numbered streets like our Austin, Texas, where you're talking about the numbers and north and south.
Yeah, well, you're in Oklahoma City, though, right?
No,
you're in Tulsa. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, we do have some number streets. Yes.
Okay.
It would be good for mobility. So.
I live at 2317 East 23rd Street North. Now, that'll kind of...
Boy.
Well, we would assume that there is a 63rd Street South.
You would think
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
There's probably a West 63rd
and a West
Street
and an
South.
East.
And
there is.
Yeah. You, yeah. Salt Lake City's in quadrants like that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And Washington, D.C. also is in, because the magazines come from, you know, so-and-so Street Northwest. So they've taken it to a new height, I guess.
Yes, they have.
And tell us a little bit while you're here about your course you just did, the schooling that you've just undertaken. That's a massive project.
And at your age, Cy.
Well, you know, I did come to a realization. The cost of living is going up much faster than my Social Security retirement is.
Boy, I hear you.
No question about that.
I heard on the news not too long ago that the average family, I suppose of about four, spends about $500 a month on groceries. And I thought, I wonder where in the world they're stealing the rest of it. It's not my family.
Yeah.
And I needed, it's not that I'm lazy, but at my age, I really don't want to work 6 days a week again.
Yeah. Don't want to do the restaurant, huh?
And I was looking for something that I can do that I don't have to work, if you will, full time, and I can still make enough money to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. And massage therapy seemed to be a good alternative.
And so you took the course. Have you been able to find any gainful work with your new craft?
Yes, I did. I'm looking for a place to set up my business.
Uh-huh.
But I have several clients, actually, that I go visit them.
Uh-huh. Right. So you have a portable massage table?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
I've got everything, and I have a new-to-me van to haul it all in.
All right.
And you have a sighted lady to drive that van?
Yes, it's my better half.
Yeah, that urges you on to build things. And
yes, that's the same one.
The same one.
Same one. I thought I recognized her from. Thought I knew her from somewhere.
Sai, am I missing some? Are you saying bitter?
better. It must be a bad connection.
Oh, I thought you were saying my bitter. I thought you were describing mine perfectly.
I'm going to stay out of this.
We're probably wise.
My wife made a shrimp salad for supper that I'm going to eat before I say anything, because I'm looking forward.
There you go.
She doesn't eat shrimp, but she made me a shrimp salad. Isn't that nice? I mean,
that is nice to her. It must be kin to my wife. She doesn't eat seafood either.
My wife eats some seafood. She'll eat, you know, crab cakes and things like that, but she doesn't like the texture of shrimp. And so I don't understand that, but I'd live with it. You know, a lot of things about women you don't understand that you live with. And so you go to people's houses and do the massage on them.
Yes, I do.
You know, you may be better off not finding a place to set up your business.
If gasoline weren't so expensive,
yeah,
you're probably right.
Because with that, you got light bills to pay and
yes,
you know, phones to answer and your rent to pay.
If I get into an office building, utilities are normally included in that rent.
Yeah.
And how long did it take to do this course? And do you have
tell us a little bit more about that,
and how you did it?
It was about a 10-month course.
Whoa.
Right at 1,000 hours, okay? About half of it was hands-on, and half of it was academic. I know more about the human body than I really wanted to know.
Yeah,
I bet.
Well, we studied the muscles, obviously, the bone structure, but we also studied the nerves, the cardiovascular system, the pulmonary system, the spine, the brain, pretty much everything, quite a bit on hormones, too.
Yeah.
And I feel fairly well-rounded on all those things. It also included a section on spa,
uh-huh,
you know, like you go and get all pampered. We had a course in that. We covered some Eastern modalities like Reiki and reflexology and Thai and such as that.
Uh-huh.
And I feel pretty well grounded on that. Those parts we didn't dabble extensively into because, man, that's a multiple-year learning process.
Oh, I bet it is.
I think at our age, those kinds of things are nice to know.
Yes.
Because you're going to have shoulder pains that you don't understand, and legs, sometimes your legs just, you know, do things you don't know why they, you know. But it's, I think it's nice to know that. I'd like to take that course.
It was a good course. It was well worth it. A blind person actually has an enormous advantage as a massage therapist.
Why is that?
Yes.
Because you get all of your information through your hands.
Uh-huh.
You are forced to actually deal with what is wrong with your client, not what you think you might see is wrong.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Sighted people sometimes have a tendency to make judgments about people based on their size. Oh, he's too fat, he's too skinny, wrong
yeah.
color.
Yeah.
And they form opinions before they ever examine the client. And, you know, I have to just deal with the client, interview them, try to find out as much as I can, have them fill out a little quickie form. And then by palpating the arms, legs, back, neck, then I can determine where this problem might be.
I think that advantage that blind people have, and there's so few advantages, there are no advantages to being blind, but you have to take advantage of what we have. I think a lot of times in social situations you have an advantage because you're not prejudging the person you're seeing.
This is very true. I can only judge by what I hear.
I wonder, Si, how long does a typical session, I'm a new client, and I filled out the little card, so now how long does a session last?
Do you want a full body, or do you want me to just deal with your problem?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that, I guess...
Give us both.
A scenario here.
If a full body massage should take an hour.
Okay.
And I can do upper or lower in a half hour easily. And if you come in and you have been a client, and you say, man, my neck is killing me, and my, you know, I've got these stiff and whatever,
uh-huh.
I can take care of that in about 10 or 15 minutes.
And just a ballpark figure, like I worked out in the gym, Si, and I come in and I mean, I'm kind of all tight and everything. Give me an adjustment here. How much is it going to cost me?
Oh, I don't know. Depends on what the traffic will bear.
I see.
Well, 30 bucks, 50 bucks?
The going rate in Tulsa for a 1 hour massage is somewhere between $40 and $70.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not bad.
You know, that gets into a whole different philosophy thing. You could charge $70 an hour if you wanted to. But now let's be realistic. If you want to have a good client base, most people cannot afford $70 a week.
Yeah,
okay?
That's true.
That's an enormous amount of money. Now, do you want one visit at $70, or would you like to have four at $40?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay?
Yeah.
I have a friend that I made a deal with. She came by my house every week for, I think, 2 months on Friday afternoons and gave me a massage. And then I would go get in my big bathtub that has a whirlpool thing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I did the massage in the whirlpool, I could barely get out of the bathtub because I was just that relaxed. I mean, it was wonderful.
That's neat.
I'd do it again.
Yeah.
I would have done it a little backwards. I would have had you get in the hot tub
first. Uh-huh.
Because then your muscles are relaxed and they're warmed up.
The reason why I was asking, I mean, talking about fees and everything, you know, my wife is kind of adventurous, and here 2 or 3 years ago she rode on a bike ride like this. It's a charity thing, this muscular, but anyway, it's a 150-mile ride. And at the end, in several places, there were masseurs.
Mm-hmm.
Who were there. I mean, you know, and of course the bike riders had to pay them, but I think they were giving them some cut rate deals.
Oh, yeah.
But also I had a question, speaking about your van, but in just Tulsa in general, how is, if you were to locate like in a, I don't know, like a country club or a men's club someplace, you know, any kind of social club, I think, how is public transportation, i.e. a little van that will come to your door for a fee in Tulsa?
One of the reasons I live in Tulsa is because we have an excellent paratransit system here.
Great.
Really?
Within Tulsa, they're expanding it to some of the little suburbs like Broken Arrow, Owosso, Jinx, Vanpool. But in Tulsa, I can go anywhere in Tulsa for $2 each way.
Uh-huh.
That's correct, yeah.
At the cost of gas, if I wanted to go down to the south part of Tulsa, it's 40 miles from my house. And at the cost of gas, unless you've really got a super, super, super economic car, it's going to cost you $8 in gas to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, you can't beat the deal. That's excellent. No.
Yeah, well, do you have to book it? When do you have to book it? A week in advance or when is it?
At least the day before.
At least the day before.
And what is the population of Tulsa? Just
right around 500,000.
Okay. Well, the reason why I ask, we live in our little 30,000 population community and growing, and we have a neat little transit system that will take you all over the county, and you're talking 40 miles. How far is it to Zavala, Phil?
It's 35 miles. Yeah,
they'll come and get you down there in Zavala and bring you.
A couple of dollars a trip.
It's I think a buck. I think they went up to maybe 2 bucks.
So I guess we're really pretty lucky in Lufkin to have.
Yes.
We really are, yeah.
Yeah, you really are. You're very lucky. They are working on rural transportation in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Some of the Indian tribes, the Creeks as an example, have a service for their members that they will take them here, there, and yonder around Okmulgee County.
Uh-huh.
But generally speaking, up here, it's pretty tough. So that's why I like Tulsa. I can book a thing and I can get down there. Again, with the lift, you have to give them a 15-minute window before and after.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't always be sure. You're probably not going to be the only one on the thing. So you really don't know how long it's going to take you to get there. But, hey, it beats walking.
It beats walking. I loved ours.
It beats walking and running into lampposts or whatever.
Yes, it does.
Well, there are two.
You don't have anybody that can drive for you.
Yeah.
It does allow you to have a certain amount of independence, and that's important.
Yep.
That's very important. There have been two great songs that I know of written about Tulsa. One would be Take Me Back To.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Which Tommy Duncan wrote as he jumped on the bus trying to get away from three ladies who had him cornered.
Yep.
The other one is Don Williams, Living on Tulsa,
Tulsa Time.
You bet.
Yep.
So we're going to let you go live on Tulsa Time, sir. And I want to not forget you this time. In a couple of weeks, I'll call you and we'll do your life story on our Blind Like Me show.
You know what? I'd enjoy that, sir.
I would too, sir. Cy Selfridge from Tulsa. Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you later, man.
Good talking with you.
Have a good day, and this will be on this weekend, Cy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I saw you with that girl last night. The both of you were making eyes. You did it right in front of my face. As if I had no pride. And now you're always working late. You never had much time for me. And you're expecting me to believe that you're not out for she. Tonight, I give you my surprise. I hope that you won't mind. I'm giving you an eye for it now, baby. I found another, and he is my lover. And I'm going out for the rest of your life. I bet you never thought I'd go that far. I bet you never thought I'd break your heart. I bet you never even thought it all. I bet you never, no, you never. I bet you never thought I'd go. That I can take. I know my heart demands a change. If I can't have my way, then all I have to say is tonight I give you my surprise. In return for your lies, I'm giving you an eye for an eye, baby. I found another, and he is my lover. And
well, she's no Arthur Kitt, but, you know, anyway. It's back to, excuse me, why didn't you do that on break, Phil? Back to the Blind Handyman Show. Cy Selfridge, what a guy.
What a deal.
Well, I live in Tulsa, and
We
need to have him and, what is her his name? The guy that does voiceover stuff.
Oh, yeah.
His wife is, can't think of, starts with a C.
Right, that's on the list. Charlotte.
Charlotte, and I can't think of his
Ken.
Name anyway. Tim.
Ken.
Osborne.
Ken Osborne.
Need to have Cy Selfridge and Ken Osborne on someday as a team.
Perhaps they could sing a duet.
Perhaps they could do something. Call themselves the Andrew Sisters.
Baritone duel.
No one's using that name now. But anyway, we're here, and you want to tell us about your, I didn't think would work, but it does.
Absolutely. Okay. I was faced after completion of the pavilion, or in its current state, it's almost completed. I mean, 99.9%.
But what you didn't do is run cable.
Well, no, there was no point. I have no, all right, to get a TV is the project we're talking about here. I didn't run cable because I have no prospects of getting cable ever. And if I wanted to, the way I did the attic, and I have an attic entrance, that would not be a problem. To just get up, I would have to put coax. I mean, I would need 25 feet of coax, and I could do that. Rather than buying an entire satellite dish, as my friend Phil Parr has for his little studio out here, separate from his home, because in our house we're doing three controllers already, and so as they charge you a rent and then for no more than it's used, I was faced with the problem, how do I get TV to the pavilion? And we're talking from the nearest TV outlet, which is what you need, the nearest place that you have a TV or a control box, to wherever you want it, is the problem. What I bought is what they call an AV transmitter, or just in plain English, a television transmitter. I went to Radio Shack, by the way, and explained all this to them, and they sold me a remote control transmitter that would not work at all. I told them I didn't need my remote control to work out there. I needed a picture first. Anyway, the one I wound up with came from Best Buy. It will transmit 150 feet, and in my situation, that was critical, because many of them only will advertise at 100 feet.
And so we're talking about from your
distance, from
back
from,
of your house, from, across the pool,
yes,
and across an expanse of lawn, and then up into the pavilion, which is 6 feet higher than the house.
Well, yeah, probably, but that the height, the elevation doesn't make a difference. Yeah, all right, patio on the house is 10 feet wide. That's coming from the brick wall.
Yeah.
50 foot to the first, to the swimming pool.
Okay, that's 60.
All right, there's 20 foot wide swimming pool.
80.
There's 12 feet of concrete.
Would be 92.
And then there's 5 feet of green space.
So you needed 100 feet at least.
No, and then there's 10 feet to the pavilion, the center of the pavilion.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at 110 feet. This little puppy, you can buy them online that will transmit, that claim 100 feet, like I say, for $49, whatever. This one at Best Buy cost me $106.
Yeah.
But it has four, it's like your IROP transmitter, it has four channels.
Uh-huh.
And trust me, the first day I was very disappointed because I was sitting there watching a very good picture and all of a sudden the biggest garble and static and all that.
Mm.
And I'd forgot about the channel settings. And then I went, you have A, B, C, and D, so I changed it from A to C, and it worked fine. And then one day, C started acting up. You have to do it in both locations. They only burn. And it doesn't seem to do it all in one day. In other words, if you have problem one day, it doesn't seem like when you move it, you'll have more problem. So I changed it to channel D, and it works fine. So sometimes you may have to change the channels, but
just interference from something.
The only thing that I've noticed, audio is great. It's on 2.4 gig. Gigahertz.
Yeah.
Is that cell phone or garage door openers?
I don't know.
Anyway,
up above cell phones a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you put it. It's two little plastic square things that are probably 3x4x4 square, and they have another little plastic thing that is a square, but it's on one of the corners, so when you stand it up, it looks like a diamond. It's still a square.
Okay.
And that is the little satellite antenna. I hook the out of the red, yellow, and white outlets on the receiver, the satellite receiver, or a TV. Coming out, you use red, white, which is left and right,
and yellow for video.
Yep. And you point the little diamond shape that we just flipped up out toward the pavilion. I go out on the pavilion, hook up red, yellow, white to the existing TV. Both of these plug into, they have little wall warts. They're not battery operated, which I like. You plug them in, and you point the little diamond-shaped antenna that you just flipped up toward the house, and voila.
That's pretty cool.
The only thing I would say that I've noticed in quality is a little lightness in color. I mean, the color's there. I can tell that the guy's got a red shirt on. It just doesn't seem to be as intense. But it will also, if you're not into TV, this works just for FM radio. Yeah. It transmits in stereo. And it's been the neatest little, I mean, it beats the hell out of digging up 100 and something feet to lay a coax cable.
Yeah, because you could run the two audio cables for any audio device and have that much range.
And also,
really cool.
I have a little thing that I can plug into the home unit, the one inside by the controller, and then place it in front of the remote, the infrared remote, and I can use the remote control from the satellite controller out on my pavilion. So do not, so I can sit out there and soak up suds. And
many folks would not want TV on their pavilion, like me.
Well, see, I love
and me.
It.
And you got to have that news.
Well, I like the Strohs. If our, our family's a big Texas A&M group. They want to see the Aggies, so I may accommodate them.
Yeah, you may. You'll let them watch it in the pool if they want to. If that's what the warden tells you to do.
Well, how did you know?
I know. I've met her.
I thought you were going to say you'd been there before.
I've been there before. Anyway, we've done 102. And so,
yeah, we have.
Donald, you'll be gone next week. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Heading out to the wilds of Colorado.
All right.
Colorado. Yeah. I should have talked more to Cy about whether I really want to go or not.
Maybe you will. Well, we have several friends in Colorado we could call if they want to know something.
We are going to Montrose, Colorado to the Discovery 2 Rally Off-Road Vehicles, the Land Rover Discovery. And so we'll be there.
The only thing that I wouldn't care about going, anyway, y'all have fun. You're going to record some for us?
I am.
So we'll be able to use that someplace?
I'm going to try, yes, sir. I shall do better than I did at the accordion
take your
convention.
Zoom and turn it on and let it roll. And so we're thinking, I'm hoping that maybe Tom will be with us again next week. If he's leaving the house for them, he can leave the house for us.
That's
and
fact.
We'll point that out to the boy.
I think he likes Eugene better than he does us.
He doesn't. Well, anyway, we'll get into that someday. Anyway, thank you for coming, Don Pat. And
loved it.
Donald Shaw.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your help. And we'll see you next week one way or the other. I'm Phil Parr, and I see said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.